So we're in batch number 6 of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz. We've got 4 more stories for you. Liz's stories coming up are...
How derelict Colden Canal was saved from closure to reopen 50 years ago. And new venue where gaming meets dining to open first UK branch in Stoke-on-Trent.
Okay, and my story is coming up. We have Staffordshire University no more as new name is announced. And Christmas is back this year as Santa Parade returns to Hanley for the first time in years. So, my first story, because I'll do the first one this time, is Staffordshire University no more as new name has been announced. Staffordshire University has unveiled a new name after undergoing a rebranding exercise. It will now be known as the University of Staffordshire in a bid to highlight its deep connection to the county. The cost of the change, which was made official this week, has not been revealed, but multiple signs will now need to be changed across the Shelton campus and other sites. Explaining the rebrand, Professor Martin Jones, Vice-Chancellor and Chief Executive, said, "This change is about more than just a name. It encapsulates our vision for the future and the endless possibilities that education can unlock. For over a century, we have been transforming lives, empowering individuals who in turn have transformed society across Staffordshire and beyond. Our roots run clean in the heart of the region, and our impact resonates far beyond the borders. Based in Stoke-on-Trent, Stafford, Lichfield and London, we take immense pride in this latest evolution. Signalling that we are not just a university in the region, but a university for the region, a beacon of knowledge, innovation and opportunity like no other." According to the university's website, the annual tuition fee for undergraduate students studying full-time in 2024-25 is currently £9,250. It says the brand new strategy is centred around the theme of possibility realised and celebrates diversity, inclusion and opportunity. Colin Hughes, who's chair of the Board of Governors, said, "Our new identity will resonate with prospective students, partners and the wider community, ensuring that they feel a part of something special, something that is generally making a difference. We're eager to see how this new chapter will inspire our students, staff and partners as we continue to make a positive impact locally, regionally and globally. The updated identity will be rolled out across all platforms this autumn, with changes already made to its online presence. It's been unveiled as the university is set to stage an open day on Saturday, October the 19th at Stoke-on-Trent campus, Saturday, October the 26th at Stafford campus, and Saturday, October the 12th at London campus." And I never knew they even had a London campus. Okay, so over to Liz now, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number 6.
How derelict Colden Canal was saved from closure to reopen 50 years ago. The 50th anniversary of the reopening of the Colden Canal was celebrated last month with an event in Endon. The canal originally opened in 1778, but it fell into disuse in the early 1950s and was almost unusable by the 1960s, with an official closure threatened in 1961. In 1963, a campaign was launched to save the canal from closure, and by 1972, work commenced in earnest to restore the canal, which runs from Etruria eastwards through the city and north to Endon, where it turns towards Froghall, reached through the unusually low Froghall Tunnel. On September the 28th, 1974, the canal reopened to navigation after an extensive restoration effort. On Saturday the 21st, members of the Stoke-on-Trent Boat Club threw a celebration at Endon Wharf to mark 50 years since the reopening of the canal. Boat Club member Mark Porter, 37, described the state of the canal in the 1960s before renovation work started. "Before 1974, it was very overgrown," said Mark. "Parts of it had become dry and some parts of the canal had trees growing in them. All the lock gates were rotten. It was derelict. The event featured visits from historic boats and classic cars, as well as craft stalls and live music. Also on display was Sentinel clippings and photographs detailing the campaign to save the Colden Canal and the eventual reopening. The canal was built to carry limestone for the iron industry and flints for the pot banks from the Trent and Mersey Canal at Etruria Junction. Before 1849, the canal extended all the way to Uttoxeter, but this extension is now derelict, although first lock at Froghall was restored in 2005, and there has been a campaign to restore the 13-mile canal. The Colden and Uttoxeter Canals Trust works to restore and maintain the canal. On the Colden Canal, which takes in many of Stoke-on-Trent's finest industrial buildings before breaking into the picturesque North Staffordshire countryside, Mark said, "The canal became disused as trains took over and the pot banks closed. There was a campaign involving Stoke-on-Trent councillors and grants were secured to restore the canal. The campaign was to reopen it, not as a working canal, but for leisure, as it is today. It's really well used." The Stoke-on-Trent Boat Club is now based at Endon after moving from near to the Civic Centre in Stoke when the canal was rerouted to accommodate the Dee Road in the early 1960s. The club has more than 100 members and a social club in Endon. Several events are organised by the club throughout the year. Mark added, "From Etruria heading north, a lot of the pot banks are in close proximity to the canal. Years ago, they would have had all the working boats, which were horse-drawn, moving all the pottery and coal. Today, the canal is busy with narrow boats used for homes and holidays. A boat from Denford takes visitors on trips along the waterway, described by the Canal and River Trust as having outstanding scenery and being steeped in history." Mark joined the club a year ago, but says he has been passionate about the local history of the canal for some time. He and wife Carolyn, 37, bought a narrowboat 5 years ago, which they named after their dog, Molly.
Wonderful stuff. So my final story now for batch number six is looking towards the festive period. Christmas is back. Santa's parade returns to Hanley for the first time in years. Christmas is to return to Hanley with a big bang, as the first Santa parade will be held in years. A festive extravaganza is to be staged in the city centre after a series of lacklustre events since COVID hit. Stoke-on-Trent Live has delved into the archives to try to find out when Santa and his sleigh last made his way around the streets of Hanley, and it appears to be way back in 2015. Setting off from Smithfield at 11 a.m. on Saturday, November the 23rd, Santa will parade through the city before jumping off his sleigh and opening his Claus cabin in the Pottery Centre at around 1 p.m. The free parade has been organised by Stoke-on-Trent City Centre BID and the Pottery Centre and promises to wow visitors with its visual and audio celebrations. There will also be sprinklings of Christmas dust with the Elf on the Shelf buddies, stilt walkers, walking Christmas puddings, a fun fair and face painting stations. The streets will also be lined with Christmas stalls with delicious delights and gifts. Businesses, schools and community groups are now being invited to take part in the parade with a float, walking float, choirs, pantomimes and music groups to make this Christmas one to remember. Entertaining visitors throughout the day, local choirs and artists will be performing on the main stage at Fountain Square. However, it's not yet been confirmed how many trees will be set up and whether there will be a Christmas light switch on. Pottery Centre manager Amy Whittaker said, "We're so excited to be part of bringing such a wonderful festive parade event back to the city centre. It really will put us on the map. We want visitors to talk about it for years, to come and experience the magic that Christmas in Stoke-on-Trent has to offer. We want as many people to get involved as possible." Bid manager Richard Buxton said the event is set to be a creative collaboration for local people to enjoy Christmas events that should be accessible and affordable for families. So it's very exciting that the parade will be free to enjoy, whilst in turn promoting footfall to the quality retail and hospitality businesses on our doorstep. The whole day is set to be packed with an impressive programme of things to do for all ages, and we're delighted to be working in collaboration with the Pottery Centre to bring all this to life. Over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 6.
New venue where gaming meets dining to open first UK branch in Stoke-on-Trent. A new venue where you can get food, drink, gaming and entertainment all under one roof will be opening this month in Stoke-on-Trent. Formerly known as the Hem Heath Pub in Blurton, High Tales is a new experience-led destination venue, the first of its kind that is being tried and tested in Stoke-on-Trent. High Tales promises something for everyone, as it boasts a children's play area complete with a crawl space for little ones, known as the Child-Led Play Zone, a dark zone designed with teenagers in mind that comes complete with video games and phone chargers, and a magic mirror that talks to you near the toilets. There are also outdoor cabins where guests can play digital darts and different interactive games for £7 per person, and you can eat food too. As well as a fun and diverse gaming experience, High Tales also has its own outdoor cinema and will be hosting live bands. Bandoki, that's karaoke with a live band, comedians and other brilliant acts. It aims to be as diverse and flexible as possible to meet all of its customers' needs. Simon Doney, the general manager of High Tales, has lived in Stoke-on-Trent for 18 years after he moved here as a student at Staffordshire University and now resides in Newcastle-under-Lyme. He said, "I'm really excited about it. I worked for Green King for seven years ago, and then I went to Hickory's and did 5 years there, and now I'm working here. We want Hem Heath's old regulars to come and see the new space and love it just as much as we want new customers to visit. This is a pilot and will benchmark what's to come, and Stoke was chosen specifically because this property in particular is very large, so we can get all the fun in one building. There's lots of flexibility here to change and adapt to. Our official menus will launch in the next few weeks, and our online bookings will go live at the same time. The food is gluten-free, and we've partnered with the Celiac Society." Talking about what High Tales has to offer, the 36-year-old added, "It's a very adaptable venue. We change the menu throughout the day as well as seasonally, so customers will never have two experiences the same. We've chosen the nation's favourites for our food options, such as all-day breakfasts and foot-long pizzas. We have a dining zone on one side of the building and the bar side and stage entertainment on the other side. The conservatory area accommodates 12 to 16 people and is very bright and vibrant and gives a more private dining experience rather than being central of the venue for people who might not want to get involved with the games. There's also a snug that's more closed off. We've put in neon angel wings, games and charging points. The idea is for teens and older children to have a space to enjoy, whilst the younger ones will be at the other end of the venue playing or watching Disney films. There's a digital screen on the ceiling in front of the bar, like Printworks in Manchester, so we can mimic sunny skies or write Happy Birthday to make a more memorable experience. There are about 100 seats for people outside too, and there are 11 tables under a tent outside, so people can still use it if it's raining. We're hoping to have a permanent street vendor food truck outside too, offering Yorkie wraps on Sundays and kebabs and hot dogs and that sort of thing on other days. We've also wheelchair accessible to make sure we're accommodating for everyone. We've hired 35 new members of staff, and we've retrained all but two of Hemmer Heath's old team, except for two staff members who've since moved on. We're still recruiting, and people can apply for a role online. We're really looking forward to welcoming everyone in, and we can't wait to hear what they think. We hope that people will come here not only as a place to get something to eat, but also as a destination for having fun and having a day out with family and friends.
Wonderful stuff. Keep listening, because we've got some more stories coming for you in batch number 7.